Okay, so this is the class for Friday, September 25th in Math 4111. And we're going to learn more about sequences. As a first example, let AJ be sine of 2 over j divided by 1 over j, and BJ be 3j squared minus 5 divided by 2j squared plus j. We will find the limit as j goes to infinity of AJ, the limit as j goes to infinity of BJ, and the limit as j goes to infinity of aj plus 6bj divided by ajbj. And of course, we're going to use the theorem that we proved at the end of class last time about arithmetic operations on sequences. Addition, multiplication, division, and so on. Okay? So recall from calculus that the limit as x goes to 0 of sine x over x is 1, where x may be replaced with any non-zero quantity approaching 0. Since 2 over j goes to 0, we have that the limit as j goes to infinity of sine of 2 over j divided by 2 over j equals 1. And therefore, the limit as j goes to infinity of aj is the limit as j goes to infinity of sine of 2 over j divided by 1 over j. That's what aj is defined to be. And that's the limit as j goes to infinity of 2 times sine of 2 over j divided by 2 over j. And that's 2 times 1, which is 2. Using algebra and the preceding theorem, we get the limit of bj is the limit as j goes to infinity of 3j squared minus 5 over 2j squared plus j, which is the limit as j goes to infinity of dividing the top and the bottom by j squared. The numerator is 3j squared minus 5 over j squared, and the denominator is 2j squared plus j over j squared. And this simplifies to the limit as j goes to infinity of 3 minus 5 over j squared, divided by 2 plus 1 over j, and that's plainly 3 minus 0 over 2 plus 0, which is 3 halves. So that's our second limit. And now the limit as j goes to infinity of aj plus 6bj over aj b plus over ajbj is 2 plus 6 times. So we know what the limit of aj is, we know what the limit of bj is, so this is just 2 plus 6 times 3 halves divided by 2 times 3 halves, which is 11 thirds. So that's the end of that example. So notice that trying to determine if a sequence converges using the epsilon n definition directly is often quite convenient and confusing because the limit is often not obvious or is unavailable, especially if we do not even know if the sequence converges. But fortunately, there's a way to determine whether a sequence converges without knowing what the limit is. This is a wonderful idea due to Augustin Cauchy. So here's the definition. Let AJ be a sequence of real or complex numbers. We say that the sequence AJ satisfies the Cauchy criterion, or more briefly, the sequence is Cauchy if for each epsilon bigger than zero, there is capital N bigger than zero, so that if JK are both bigger than N, then absolute AJ minus AK is less than epsilon. We may say that a sequence is Cauchy if the tail terms of the sequence are arbitrarily close to each other, as long as their indices are sufficiently large. So if staring at the definition here, you see that instead of saying that the AJs are getting close to a limit alpha, we're instead of saying that the AJs get closer to each other. That's Cauchy's idea. First example, assume that the sequence AJ satisfies absolute AJ n minus AM less than 1 over n plus 1 over m. Show that the sequence is Cauchy. This is easy. Let epsilon be bigger than 0. Choose an integer capital N bigger than 0 so that capital N is bigger than 2 over epsilon. For example, you could let capital N be 1 plus greatest integer 2 over epsilon. Then 1 over n, of course, is less than epsilon over 2. And so for all integers little m bigger than capital N, we have absolute a n minus absolute a m less than 1 over n plus 1 over m less than 1 over capital N plus 1 over capital N, which is less than epsilon. So that shows that it's Cauchy. Second example, assume that the sequence a n satisfies absolute a n minus a m less than 1 over 2 n. For all m bigger than or equal to n bigger than or equal to 1, show the sequence is Cauchy. So let epsilon be bigger than 0. Choose an integer capital N bigger than 0 so that 1 over 2, 2 to the capital N is less than epsilon. Then for all integers little m bigger than capital N, with little m bigger than or equal to little n, we have absolute a n minus a m is less than 1 over 2 n. And so the sequence AN is Cauchy. Look at the sequence now, 1 plus minus 1 to the n. This is not Cauchy, as two consecutive terms always differ by 2. And of course, what's in a Cauchy sequence, two consecutive terms are getting closer and closer together. So that sequence is not Cauchy. The big result now that ties everything together is that a sequence is Cauchy if and only if it converges. And this is where the completeness of the real numbers comes in a decisive way. But let's first show a much more basic property. So a lemma, every Cauchy sequence is bounded. So let AJ be the Cauchy sequence, let epsilon equal 1. There is an integer capital N bigger than 0, such that absolute AJ minus AK less than epsilon equals 1 whenever JK is bigger than capital N. That's what Cauchy means. Thus, if little j is bigger or equal to capital N plus 1, we have absolute AJ less than or equal to absolute A capital N plus 1 plus AJ minus A sub capital N plus 1. So we just added and subtracted a term there. And this is less than or equal to absolute AN plus 1 plus absolute AJ minus AN plus 1. And that's less than or equal to absolute AN plus 1 plus 1. Let's call that number K. And remember here, capital N is fixed. So capital A sub N plus 1 is fixed. So K is a constant. Let capital N be the maximum of absolute A1, absolute A2, dot, 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 absolute AN. If J is any natural number, then either J is bigger than or equal to 1, less than or equal to capital N, in which case absolute AJ is less than or equal to L, or else J is bigger than capital N, in which case absolute AJ is less than or equal to K. Set capital N be the maximum of K and L, and then for any J, absolute AJ is less than or equal to M, as required. So we've shown absolute AJ less than or equal to M, and that means the sequence is bounded, which is what we wanted to prove. Okay, so here's the big theorem. Let AJ be a sequence of real numbers, and the sequence is Cauchy if and only if it converges to some limit alpha. So the easy half of the proof is this. First, assume the sequence converges to a limit alpha. Let epsilon be bigger than 0. Then there is an integer capital N bigger than 0, so that if J is bigger than capital N, then absolute AJ minus alpha is less than epsilon over 2. Now, if little j, little k are bigger than capital N, then absolute AJ minus AK is less than or equal to absolute AJ minus alpha plus absolute alpha minus AK, and that's less than epsilon over 2 plus epsilon over 2 equals epsilon. So the sequence is Cauchy. That's one half of the assertion. Conversely, suppose that the sequence little aj is Cauchy. Define capital S to be the set of reals x so that there's a positive integer k with x less than aj for all j bigger than or equal to k. By the lemma, the sequence AJ is bounded above by some positive integer m because a Cauchy sequence is bounded. Clearly, every number less than minus m is an S, so S is non-empty. Also, S is bounded above by m. Thus, the sup of S is a real number. Let alpha be the sup of S. We claim that the limit of the sequence AJ is alpha. To see this, let epsilon be bigger than 0. Choose an integer capital N bigger than 0 such that absolute AJ minus AK is less than epsilon over 2 whenever JK is bigger than N. This last inequality implies that absolute AJ minus A capital N plus 1 is less than epsilon over 2 whenever J is bigger than or equal to N plus 1. Hence, AJ is bigger than AN plus 1 minus epsilon over 2 whenever J is bigger than or equal to capital N plus 1. Therefore, AN plus 1 minus epsilon over 2 is in S, and it follows that alpha, being the sup, is bigger than or equal to AN plus 1 minus epsilon over 2. The previous line also shows that AJ is less than AN plus 1 plus epsilon over 2 when J is bigger or equal to capital N plus 1. Thus, AN plus 1 plus epsilon over 2 is not in S. Note that every number smaller than a number in S is also in S. Just every real number not in S is an upper bound for S, and therefore alpha, the supremum, is less than or equal to AN plus 1 plus epsilon over 2. Combining this last line and the previous line gives the absolute value of alpha minus an plus 1 is less than or equal to epsilon over 2. But that line yields for j bigger than capital N that alpha minus aj in absolute value is less than or equal to alpha minus an plus 1 plus an plus 1 minus jj, which is less than epsilon over 2 plus epsilon over 2 equals epsilon. And that proves that the sequence aj converges to alpha as claimed. Corollary. Let alpha j be a sequence of complex numbers. The sequence is Cauchy if and only if it is convergence. Well, this is almost obvious because the sequence of complex numbers alpha j will be Cauchy if and only if the real parts are Cauchy and the complex parts are Cauchy, and therefore if and only if the real parts converge and if and only if the complex parts converge. And that's the end of the story. And you can read the details right here on page 10 of the Beamer lecture. Let aj be a sequence of real numbers. The sequence is said to be increasing if a1 less than or equal to a2 less than or equal to a3, etc. It is decreasing if a1 bigger than or equal to a2 bigger than or equal to a3, etc. A sequence is said to be monotone if it is either increasing or decreasing. We can show that a real sequence aj is increasing by checking that aj plus 1 minus aj bigger than or equal to 0 for all j, or aj plus 1 minus aj less than or equal to 0 for all j for decreasing. For example, the sequence an equals n divided by n plus 2 is increasing, since an plus 1 minus an is n plus 1 over n plus 3 divided by n over n plus 2, which equals 2 divided by n plus 2 times n plus 3, which is obviously positive. Similarly, we could show that 3n plus 1 over 3n is decreasing. For a sequence an with all terms positive, we may show that an is increasing or decreasing by checking that an plus 1 over an is bigger than or equal to 1, or an plus 1 divided by an is less than or equal to 1 for all n. For example, the sequence n factorial divided by n to the n is decreasing just by checking an plus 1 over an less than or equal to 1. We say that a sequence ha is bounded above if there is a real number m so that ha less than or equal to m for all j, and it's bounded below if there's a number m so that aj bigger than or equal to m for all j. Theorem. Aj is an increasing sequence that is bounded above, then aj converges. If bj is a decreasing sequence that is bounded below, then bj converges. This is intuitively clear, but it's always good to have a proof, so here's a proof. Let aj be an increasing sequence that is bounded above. Let epsilon be bigger than 0. Let alpha be the sup of aj, which certainly exists because the sequence is bounded above. Then alpha minus epsilon is not an upper bound for the aj, since there's an integer capital N, so that alpha minus epsilon is less than an. Then if little l is bigger than or equal to capital N plus 1, we have alpha minus epsilon less than a capital N, less than or equal to a sub L, because the sequence is increasing, less than or equal to alpha. Hence, absolute a L minus alpha is less than epsilon. Thus, the sequence converges to alpha. The proof for decreasing sequences is similar, and we leave the details to you. Example, let a1 equal root 2 and an plus 1 equal the square root of the quantity 2 plus an for all n bigger than or equal to 1. Show that an is increasing and bounded above, and find the limit as n goes to infinity of an. Well, clearly, by definition, a2 is the square root of the quantity 2 plus square root of 2, which is bigger than the square root of 2, which is a1. Assume that ak plus 1 is bigger than ak for some k, then ak plus 2 is the square root of 2 plus ak plus 1, bigger than the square root of 2 plus ak, which is ak plus 1. So that shows by induction that an plus 1 is bigger than an for all n, so an is increasing. It is easily shown by induction that an is less than 3 for all n, thus the an is an increasing sequence that is bounded above by 3, so it converges to some number alpha. Now we know from the definition of an plus 1 equals square root of 2 plus an, that an plus 1 squared is 2 plus an, taking the limit as n goes to infinity gives alpha squared equals 2 plus alpha, so alpha must be 2. And that's the limit of the sequence. Let S be a non corollary. Let S be a non-empty set of real numbers which is bounded above and below. Let beta be the supremum and alpha its infimum. Let epsilon be bigger than zero. Then there are S and T in S, so that S minus beta is less than epsilon, and T minus alpha is less than epsilon. So again, this is something that should become intuitive for you, that there are numbers in the set that are arbitrarily close to the supremum, and numbers in the set that are arbitrarily close to the infimum. So for a proof, let epsilon be bigger than zero. Since alpha equals inf S is the greatest lower bound of S, alpha plus epsilon is not a lower bound. Thus, there is an element T in S, so that T is less than alpha plus epsilon. Of course, we also have alpha less than or equal to T, hence alpha less than or equal to T less than alpha plus epsilon, and therefore absolute T minus alpha is less than epsilon. The claim about beta and S can be proved similarly. As an example, let S be the set of 1 over n for n a natural number. Then alpha, which is the inf of S, is 0, and beta, which is the sup of S, is 1. And for each epsilon greater than 0, one could find little s and little t in S, so that absolute S minus beta is less than epsilon, and absolute T minus alpha is less than epsilon. And in fact, we choose S little s equals 1, and T equals 1 over n. For some n bigger than 1 over epsilon. Now, we know a sequence diverges if and only if it is not Cauchy, and thus it is helpful to have a clear understanding of sequences that are not Cauchy. Here's a fact. A sequence An is not Cauchy if and only if there is an epsilon bigger than 0, such that for each capital N bigger than 0, there are integers j and k greater than n, so that absolute a j minus ak is bigger than or equal to epsilon. That's the negation of the definition of Cauchy. In particular, this idea may be used to give a proof by contradiction for problem 12 of the exercises, which you might want to have a look at. We will conclude this discussion with a result that is very useful for calculating limits of certain sequences. This is called the pinching principle. It's a very intuitive condition. Let AJ, BJ, CJ be sequences of real numbers satisfying AJ less than or equal to BJ less than or equal to CJ for all sufficiently large j, if the limit of AJ equals alpha and the limit of CJ equals alpha, then the limit of BJ equals alpha. The proof is straightforward, and we'll leave it to you to figure out for yourself, or you can look it up somewhere on the internet. Let's finish up here by doing an example to illustrate the pinching principle. Notice that to apply the pinching principle to a sequence BJ, one has to consider desirable auxiliary sequences AJ and CJ, whose limits are easy to compute. In the next example, we're going to use the fact that if you have a sequence BJ, the limit of BJ is 0 if and only if the limit of absolute BJ is 0. So now we're going to study the limit as J goes to infinity of the cosine of J squared divided by J. And this sequence is fairly complicated because the expression cosine of j squared is fairly complicated. But we notice that the expression cosine j squared divided by j is in absolute value is bigger than or equal to 0 and less than or equal to 1 over j. And of course, the limit of j as j goes to infinity of 0 is 0, and the limit of 1 over j as j goes to infinity is 0. And so by the pinching principle, the limit is j goes to infinity of cosine j squared over j in absolute value is also 0. And therefore, the limit as j goes to infinity of cosine j squared over j without the absolute value is 0. And that's the end of today's discussion. I will see you next time.